from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, Chick-fil-A takes heat for a change in charitable giving. Hong Kong tensions reach the president's desk, and thoughts on the Democrat debate. I'm David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. With the dust still settling over Chick-fil-A's announced changes to their charitable giving program, Dr. Albert Moeller, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, said on his daily briefing program that, quote, "This indicates not only the direction of the culture, but how the culture is directed," end quote. Joining Tony Perkins to talk about Chick-fil-A's move is Dr. Albert Moeller.
Dr. Moeller, welcome to Washington Watch.
It's great to be with you. Thank you.
So what did you mean by that? That this indicates not only the direction of the culture, but how the culture is now directed.
Yeah, this is a kind of proof positive of the fact that the culture is being directed by forces that are largely gaining control of corporate America. And you can see Chick-fil-A is one of the last brave resistors for so long, and compelling them to further the moral revolution, especially on LGBT issues, by economic coercion. That's exactly what happened. They basically blackmailed Chick-fil-A into making a decision as to whether they're going to expand their business or they're just going to allow the LGBT revolution to plow right through them.
But there's collateral damage in a decision like that. When you look at ministries, long-running ministries, Salvation Army, that turns no one away, but they hold to continue to hold to, loosely in some cases, a biblical understanding of marriage and human sexuality. So what does it say to these ministries that hold fast to biblical teaching?
Well, I have a new category for this, Tony, and it's ministry shaming. That's what's going on here. So now there's a blacklist of ministries. And you know what it's like to be put on that kind of ministry. Anyone who holds to a biblical standard of morality, a biblical definition of marriage, is now going to be put on the list of ministries that no one is going to be allowed to support and remain in business. No one's going to be allowed to support and be considered, morally upright in this upside-down moral culture. And the blatant manipulation and coercion in this is there for all to see. I mean, the LGBT activist movements did not hide what they were doing. They did it right out in public view. They brought pressure, shut down, corporate expansion. And the reality is that's the choice that's being presented to American institutions and companies now. Either cave or go out of business.
But we do see that Chick-fil-A has enjoyed remarkable success. They have I know they've had difficulty in some expansions, but they've had tremendous support from the public. They've had, even in Texas recently, the legislature passing a protection bill for Chick-fil-A because they wouldn't allow one to be opened in the airport. The governor signed it. There's a sense of betrayal for those that have come to the aid of Chick-fil-A.
No, I understand that fully, and I know the family and so many wonderful people who are involved in Chick-fil-A, and I'm sure many of them internally feel betrayed by this, especially the argument that was made in the statement by the chief operating officer, just pretty much right up front. They're correcting their charitable pattern. I understand that entirely. I think the issue that was faced by Chick-fil-A was whether they're going to be able to operate outside of the Bible Belt, so to speak. And obviously, this is a decision I lament. I have done so publicly. I think it sets a horrible precedent, and it's very disappointing. There's no other word for it.
Dr. Moeller, I go beyond saying it sets a terrible precedent. I agree with that. I also think it's a horrible business model because in the time that I've been dealing with this, unfortunately, for almost two decades, those that partially capitulate are never embraced by the LGBTQ community. And so they find themselves basically on a corner with a chicken sandwich and no buyers.
No, I don't think they're going to be in a desperate situation because of the strength of their customer base. But your point is quite valid when you consider the fact that the left never takes prisoners. It only takes victims. And so a company that's going to change its policy this way, it's lying to itself if it thinks it'll end here. They're going to be required to do public repentance. And I mean, basically, you look at other corporate presidents, as you well know, the next thing you know, it's not just that they're not funding Christian organizations. The pressure is they got to start funding LGBTQ organizations.
Well, one can argue that they have done that with the Covenant House that they've announced. If you look at their website, very quickly, I know we're just about out of time, but you are training up the next generation of pastors and Christian leaders. How do you approach them with this this cultural direction that we're headed in, where it's not for the faint of heart?
No, it's certainly not. And there is no ministry more crucial than preaching the Word of God. And there's no excuse for turning out preachers who aren't going to preach the Word of God as God revealed it in His inerrant Word. So, yes, we got to train them to be ready for battle.
All right, Dr. Al Mohler, thank you for the work that you're doing in training those men and women to be standard bearers for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
It's great to be with you, Tony. Thank you.
You can find out more about Dr. Mohler as well as Chick-fil-A's decision when you visit tonyperkins.com. While you're there, you can also find out how you can receive Tony's daily update. It's an email with the top stories of the day concerning faith, family, and freedom. Again, that's tonyperkins.com.
Family Research Council has a new series on biblical worldview. In three new publications, FRC's David Clawson addresses the complex moral questions and issues in our society today with a biblical and historical basis for life, religious liberty, and political engagement. Clawson urges Christians to be grounded in their biblical worldview and always be ready to answer and defend the core beliefs of the Christian faith. To learn more, visit frc.org/worldview. Today more than ever, there is a need to pass fetal dignity laws. Two notorious abortionists have been exposed for harboring the remains of thousands of unborn babies in the last 9 years. And in 2015, videos from the Center for Medical Progress uncovered an industry where aborted baby body parts are being harvested and sold for research. The trafficking of aborted babies funds the abortion industry and incentivizes harmful abortion practices. To learn more about fetal dignity laws, visit frc.org/fetal dignity.
Meadow Pollock was a high school senior who was tragically gunned down during the Parkland school shooting in Florida. In an emotional and gripping FRC Speaker Series event, her father, Andrew Pollock, and education expert Max Eden discussed the tragic massacre and the politically correct policies that enabled a psychopathic criminal to maintain a clean background and purchase a firearm used to murder 17 people. To listen to this event and to learn more, visit frc.org/speakers.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Wednesday, the House finally passed the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act, and one of the sponsors of that bill was New Jersey Congressman Chris Smith, and he joins Tony now to talk about it.
Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for having me on, Tony. Great to talk to you.
Well, it's good to see you briefly yesterday on Capitol Hill at the Values Action Team meeting. But you were, as always, if there's a human rights measure, you're right there with it. You were one of the chief sponsors of the bill in the House, the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act, which passed almost unanimously. It emerged out of the House and the Senate, headed to the president. Before we get into the prospects of the president signing it and China's reaction, give our listeners a sense of what is in the bill.
Sure. You know, in 2014, real quick, Tony, sitting 5 feet away from sitting, we had a meeting in which we came up with the idea of the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act. That was in April of 2014. I introduced it later on in November of 2014. Four separate bills, four separate Congresses could not get the bill passed. We finally got it passed. It's on its way to President Trump, who I am certain will sign it. And what it does, it finally says that the special relationship that we have with Hong Kong is put at risk in terms of the economics. They get trade matters, customs, sanctions enforcement, easement, protection of human rights and rule of law issues, all combined If they don't have an autonomous Hong Kong, all of those benefits that accrue to Hong Kong go away. The president will have the ability to do an aggressive analysis on a whole lot of things, including that, human rights, autonomy, and then make a decision as to whether or not they deserve that special protection that they currently enjoy. When China gave Hong Kong, or got Hong Kong back from the UK, they made solemn promises, and one of them is called the Basic Law and the Sino-British communique or declaration that made clear that it would be autonomous, that human rights, as you and I understand human rights, would be enjoyed. You look at the Basic Law, it reads like our own Constitution. It's just in the Bill of Rights. It is wonderfully written, and now it's eroding under Xi Jinping, the current dictator, as he's attacking, as you know, because of your global work on religious freedom. They are looking to take that kind of repression to Hong Kong itself. And we have levers. You know, as we all know, Hong Kong and China in particular, its economy is based on exports. Without exports, it will implode. Well, we can impact those exports in a very serious way if we say there's conditionality to having that special status for Hong Kong, and that conditionality will now be reviewed in a very, very systematic way every single year.
Now, Congressman Smith,
yes.
the agreement, the Sino-China agreement, this right. was also recognized by the United Nations. So this has international status here. So, I mean, this is also territory in which the UN could step in, because this is an agreement that China made with the rest of the world, basically.
Great point. And back in 1984, when the Sino-British Joint Declaration was agreed to, you're right. This is a treaty that is enforceable. And hopefully, not just the United States, but every other country in the world will take seriously the implementation of those commitments. And again, not only are people being killed, tortured, driven from their homes, you know, and the courage of the Hong Kongers is incredible. Young people standing up to baton-wielding police, increasingly getting hurt, and yet they want a Hong Kong that is free, that has autonomy. And again, all of that was promised by the Chinese government. So it brings into sharp focus, can Beijing ever be trusted? They make right. these promises, people all, you know, big signing ceremonies, and then the ink is barely dry, and they're beginning to erode those basic human rights. And religious freedom is right in the crosshairs.
Absolutely. And this is this measure of yours that you were yes. successful in moving through Congress and moving to the president has gotten under the skin of Beijing. A spokesman
yes, very much so.
For the foreign ministry in Beijing said this, called the bill a, quote, serious violation of international law, which I find ironic because that's the what they're doing. And said the Chinese government opposed and condemned it. Quote, I'd like to stress once again that Hong Kong is part of China, and Hong Kong affairs are China's internal affairs. We urge the U.S. to grasp the situation, stop its wrongdoing before it's too late, and immediately take measures to prevent this act from becoming law. End quote. That sounds like a threat.
Oh, sure does. And, you know, going back to when human rights and most favored nation trading status was the issue, Bill Clinton gave away everything. He was weak and vacillating, and in May of 1994, he delinked human rights from trade, and that's when the Chinese government took the view of the United States that all we care about is profits, and that the rule of law, copyright infringement, and especially fundamental universally recognized human rights are all negotiable, or they're found on page 8. Maybe they have an asterisk next to them. They're not really important. So he gave away the store, I believe. May 26, 1994 was the day, frankly, we lost China. And you know, a lot of people don't focus enough on the fact that, you know, our foreign policy can make the difference. Had we said there has to be significant progress in human rights before the trading relationship can flourish, we would have seen very significant and positive changes. Now this is, you know, part two. Hong Kong is next. That could erode very rapidly. You know, we didn't learn the lessons of Tiananmen Square, it would seem, but we're learning them now. because people went on thinking if you just trade a little more, somehow China will matriculate from dictatorship to democracy. Has not happened. They're now a global threat, and the threat to their own people is unconscionable. The Uyghurs, the Muslims, the Christians, the House Church movement, they are on a tear, and you have spoken out against it many times, to destroy people of faith or to co-opt them. Hong Kong is next in that strategy.
Yeah, going back to the permanent most favored nation status, the idea that trade would change China, I hate to say this, but I think trade has changed American business more than it's changed China.
Excellent.
When you have when you have like the NBA going silent because China threatened to pull their preseason games, you see American businesses putting factories using, in some cases, what could be described as slave labor. I mean, this is troubling. And we're now, as you talked about the Uyghurs, we've talked about them on this program extensively, the brutality, the internment camps, the organ harvesting. And now we see Hong Kong. And unfortunately, it's not like the Uyghurs where it's behind these walled compounds that we can't see into. We're seeing on our television screens young people on college campuses, university campuses in Beijing protesting, appealing to American freedom. And I applaud you and Senator Rubio for moving forward on this measure.
Oh, thank you so much. And it was bipartisan, and I think that's important. There was only one vote against it in the recorded vote in the House. So I think that sent a very clear message of unity. And again, the
especially
president,
in this day and age.
Yes, yeah, in this day and age, that almost never happens. And frankly, the president has been outstanding on religious freedom vis-a-vis China. You know, the as you were a part of it during the summer, speaking out so boldly at the ministerial, as well as Secretary Pompeo, and on trafficking. And, you know, I wrote the laws on trafficking, sex and labor trafficking for the United States, including the landmark one, the TPVA of 2000. He has designated China as a Tier 3 egregious violator. That did happen during the Obama administration. There was one time when they got automatically downgraded. It was all a technical thing. He couldn't wait to give them a passing grade. Not so now. So I'm very confident that the president will be very firm on standing in solidarity with these wonderful, remarkable, courageous Hong Kong human rights and democracy activists.
I think this comes at a very significant time, and the president taking, as he has with everything since he's been in office, a hard stand in negotiations, but China warning that as we're right at the almost the zenith of negotiations over trade, that this could affect the trade deal. Do you think the president in any form or fashion might pull back because of that?
I don't, because I think you know, we have a strong hand. One, the moral suasion of the activists, the democracy activists, is, I mean, they are incredible. They're risking their lives. They're being arrested. They're being beaten. They're being tortured. And when this all happened during Tiananmen Square, the whole world, including the United States, made some obligatory rhetorical statements. And that was it. There was no connection to policy. This time we can connect it, because I do think we're seeing the harbinger of another Tiananmen Square.
I unfortunately, I think you could be right. Congressman Chris Smith, as always, great to have on the program, a great guest, knowledgeable, and I want to thank you again for your leadership on such an important issue.
Well, thank you so very, very much.
You can find out more about Representative Chris Smith when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We'll be right back with more of the weekend edition of Washington Watch right after this.
Are you a parent of a school-aged child? Then check out Family Research Council's new publication titled The SPLC's Teaching Tolerance: What Parents, Teachers, and Administrators Need to Know. This resource helps parents identify the radically progressive agendas being pushed on their children by the Southern Poverty Law Center. FRC's brochures outlines the content within the SPLC's Teaching Tolerance project that undermines Christian values about marriage and family. Learn more at frc.org/teachingtolerance.
Religious liberty is one of the most important yet misunderstood issues in America. There's a growing perception that protecting religious liberty is an attempt to lawfully allow bigotry and prejudice. Therefore, Christians need to be able to articulate with greater clarity and persuasiveness why they support religious liberty. Biblical Principles for Religious Liberty, Evidence from Scripture and Church History, is a new publication from Family Research Council that presents biblical and theological arguments for why religious liberty is worth defending and encourages Christians to engage in the fight to preserve America's first freedom. This publication presents key biblical texts that support a broad understanding of religious freedom and key theological arguments based on those texts. In an increasingly secular world, Christians must understand and advocate for religious liberty. Learn more by visiting frc.org/belief.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Wednesday night, the Democrats held another debate, this time in Georgia. And Family Research Council President Tony Perkins spent some time on Thursday breaking down the candidates' views on abortion. Here's Tony Perkins.
Last night, MSNBC hosted the latest Democratic presidential debate. It was not many people are watching. They stepped on their own debate with their impeachment circus. But it was in Atlanta, and I want to talk about it in this segment. I want to focus on one topic. It was front and center, and this is because they've been advocating for this, the abortion advocates. And, of course, MSNBC is probably the best to do this because they're out there. They're out there. And it was on the topic of abortion. But I want you to see just how far this party is going on abortion and the contrast it provides against the current Republican Party and the current administration. Now, Rachel Maddow was one of the moderators, and she asked Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota this question about abortion. Listen to this.
Welcome back to the MSNBC Washington Post Democratic Candidates Debate. Many states, including right here where we are tonight in Georgia, have passed laws that severely limit or outright ban abortion. Right now, Roe versus Wade protects a woman's right to abortion nationwide. But if Roe gets overturned and abortion access disappears in some states, would you intervene as president to try to bring that access back, Senator Klobuchar?
Well, of course. We should codify Roe v. Wade into law. That is what we should do. And this president indicated early on what he was going to do, and he's done it.
Hey, a couple of points there. The last line is telling. This president said early on what he was going to do, and he's done it. I would agree with that. That is a correct statement. Now, it's interesting that they want to codify into law Roe v. Wade. What do they mean by that? Well, what they mean is they acknowledge that the court decision is actually not law. And it's simply there because the court declared it. And Congress never passed it because they couldn't. Now, and they're not going to do it today. They say they're going to codify it into law. But it's interesting how if the court were to send this back to the states, they are going on record saying, we don't care what the court says. If it goes against our agenda, we're going to intervene, and we expect you to intervene. Now, let me move on, because she went down kind of the list of the different candidates talking to them about abortion. Here is Maddow again with this time Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Just this weekend, Louisiana reelected a Democratic governor, John Bel Edwards. He has signed one of the country's toughest laws restricting abortion. Is there room in the Democratic Party for someone like him, someone who can win in a deep red state but who does not support abortion rights? Senator Warren.
I believe that abortion rights are human rights. I believe that they are also economic rights. And protecting the right of a woman to be able to make decisions about her own body is fundamentally what we do and what we stand for as a Democratic Party.
Avoided the question. It's interesting that Rachel Maddow interjected John Bel Edwards, the only pro-life Democratic governor in the country, I believe, and quite frankly is the reason he did not get defeated in the election in Louisiana, which I know a little bit about. But she went on to say, this is what the Democratic Party stands for. Now, Maddow went on to follow up on this with more with Senator Warren. So I want to – she presses her on this. So let's play that next clip.
Senator Warren, I need to push you on this a little bit for a specific answer to the question. Governor John Bel Edwards in Louisiana is an anti-abortion governor who has signed abortion restrictions in Louisiana. Is there room for him in the Democratic Party with those politics?
I have made clear what I think the Democratic Party stands for. I'm not here to try to drive anyone out of this party. I'm not here to try to build fences. But I am here to say this is what I will fight for as president of the United States.
All right. Once again, making very clear what the party stands for. It stands for abortion. And again, sidestepping the issue about who can be in the party. Okay, I think we got time to play another clip. This is Maddow going after Sanders. Well, I shouldn't say so, going after, questioning Sanders and Booker on abortion.
Senator Sanders, I'll give you 30 seconds.
Amy mentioned that women feel strongly on it. Well, let me just tell you that if there's ever a time in American history where the men of this country must stand with the women, this is the moment. And I get very tired of hearing the hypocrisy from conservatives who say, get the government off our backs. We want small government. Well, if you want to get the government out of the backs of the American people, then understand that it is women who control their own bodies, not politicians.
Senator Booker.
This is a voting issue. This is a voter suppression issue. Right here in this great state of Georgia, it was the voter suppression, particularly of African-American communities, that prevented us from having a Governor Stacey Abrams right now.
Yeah. How do you get from abortion to voter suppression? I mean, I could see where you say abortion leads to voter elimination, which is what the Democratic Party stands for. This is the Democratic Party.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.